we started Divrei Yamim last week, but really going to go over one other part over here. So the point of Divrei Yamim was to be a Divrei Yamim, a chronicles, not just for all of Klal Yisrael, but really only for the Davidic line. There was a Divrei Yamim for Malchi Yisrael that we have lost, and we have no access to it. We're not so sure. There may have been another Divrei Yamim that was written more of a history book for the Jewish people, which we also lost. We don't have anything of that. This Divrei Yamim was written only in order to bring up Malchus Beis David, to make them feel special. And the purpose of it, as we'll see, was because there were some things that were happening that people weren't the happiest about, and we're going to talk about it. Now, this is compiled by Ezra. It may have been the last sefer that he wrote in his life. We're not positive. Some parts of Ezra and Nehemiah may have been whatever, we don't know. But what Ezra did was he came back to Eretz Yisrael. He proclaimed Zerubbabel as the leader instead of himself. And Zerubbabel was from the family of David HaMelech, from the lineage, from the line that went all the way down there. He was the great-grandson of Yoyachin, who was the king of Israel, right? He went through, he selected certain parts in order to put into this Divrei Yamim, and you'll see, on purpose, he only chose the positive stories, not the negative ones. We're going to see how he picks and chooses between one and the other, and it's not about like this and that and the other. We're going to see it's very clear why he chose these stories over anything else.
Yeah. Only from Malchus Beis David, why start from Adam? Why not start from Yehuda?
We're going to see the point that Ezra Sofer wanted to make was he wanted to start off with who these people were, where they all came from, and give a brief history. And it's really about 9 prukim before we get into David HaMelech and then going all the way through. And we'll see. Well, one of the things he's going to talk about in a second is we're going to see how, like, the first prukim, it's very quick. Like, for example, the very first pasuk, Adam, Sheis, Enosh. That's 1,200 years of human existence. And you're summarizing them in 3 words, Adam, Sheis, Enosh. You're not even wasting the time with the word
right,
Beno.
But it's a family tree.
You are 100% right. But clearly, that was the beginning, and then it switches. And we'll see very quickly how it switches from one to the other. We're going to see how it goes straight into Yehuda, as opposed to Reuven, then Shimon, then Levi, then Yehuda, etc. We're going to see how it goes over here as well. It could very well be that the reason why Ezra felt that this was so important over here is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was wondering, the people were wondering if HaKadosh Baruch Hu really had them as the chosen people anymore. Obviously, even when Ezra went up, as we just learned in Ezra Nehemiah, 43,000 people chose, you know, to go up with him. Even less people came up with Nehemiah later on. Ezra only had 43,000 people that ended up going with him. The overwhelming majority stayed in the Golus itself. He wanted to destroy that disillusionment the people had. He wanted them to rebuild their cities, their lives, and everything in Eretz Yisrael and show them it was there. He wanted to give them an inspiring vision. So the vision was, Malchus Beis David can come back. We can bring back this Malchus. It never happened, but it's the theme and the basis behind Divrei Yamim, the last sefer of all Tanakh, and that's the idea behind it. The idea behind it is, this is the perspective. Bnei Yisrael is eternal, David HaMelech is eternal, Golus is going to pass, we're going to have a Gula and it's going to be awesome. For right now, this is where we have right over here. Okay, that's the idea behind it. We are going to see that, obviously, there's something that it's going to be really interesting. Out of everything that happens over here, there's some interesting ideas. One of the things is that David HaMelech was never able to build the Beis HaMikdash because of his bloodshed. And we're going to wonder what exactly that means, why Bnei Yisrael were not going to be worthy to do things through David HaMelech. It had to be one or the other. And we'll see how the greatness of David, even in the things he wasn't able to do. Because again, if we're only looking at the great things that David HaMelech was able to do, then why would we bother mentioning, right, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, what was not being, going to be able to be built by David? Why would you say that? Don't say that because that makes David sound bad. And the answer is that even that shows the greatness of David. Because David HaMelech had a choice to do. It was either allow the Beis HaMikdash to be built and then the people will suffer more because Hashem is either going to punish the Beis HaMikdash or the people, or allow the Beis HaMikdash to not be built, be built through Shlomo, it will be destroyed and the people will survive. That was the choice they were given, and obviously David HaMelech chose the way that he did over here.
Wasn't he told, you're not going to build it, Shlomo's going to build it?
So yes, like, but an order from God. That was based on the idea, the reason why that was given, and it won't be, it's not in Malachim, in Shmuel Beis, I mean. And it's mentioned only here is because of the bloodshed that he had in his hand. We're going to see, it's going to be interesting because
you were framing it not as, meaning as his choice, not to, meaning that way Hashem could.
We're going to see in Shmuel Beis, it does not seem like a choice. It seems like Nasanavi tells him, you will not build the Beis Medrash, period. Here we're going to see it was more of a conversation. It more looked like David HaMelech is almost as if offering a choice. Do you see why you can't build it? And David HaMelech really was almost as if he could say, I want it anyway. And yet he said no. And we'll see it's going to be the greatness that he had over here. And the last thing we're going to go through is something interesting when it comes to Divrei Yamim. If you're writing a book of Chronicles that goes through the different histories and goes through the different people that are going to be born, Obviously, you'd want everything to be very set and very clear. Here's the problem. Divrei Hayamim is extremely unclear. Extremely unclear. The names that are inside there, we're going to see, this really refers to that person, and that really refers to this person. Throughout the Gemara, we darshan, who is this guy? Mered is really Kalev. Morda is referring to Miriam. We're going to see these names, and it's going to be like, oh, that really refers to him, that really refers to her. Why in the world would you do that? Why would you use names that are not their real names? That's the craziest thing in the world. And the answer is, it says, and this is from the Maharal itself, right? The Maharal says that typically the way we look at most Svarim is in Pshat. Divrei Hayamim is a different sefer and was written on purpose in a very, very different way. He says Pshat and Drush are going to coexist in this sefer without conflict. Obviously, there are going to be little conflicts that we're going to look at and we're going to say that doesn't make any sense to us, right? But he gives an example, the Maharal gives it as an example to be able to show that we can take the Pshat and explain it right over here. So here's the example that he gives. The obvious example is Yaakov Avinu Lomes. That's the Gemara in Tainus. Yaakov Avinu never died, right? How could that be? The Gemara says, but they embalmed him. He died. It says he died, right? And it goes through. How in the world could you say that? And he said, Mikra Nidorish. That was the answer Rav Nachman gave. I think it was Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak gave to Rav Nachman. He said, Mikra Nidorish. I'm darshaning a pasuk over here. So he says that, in other words, in the world of Pshat, 100%, the physical flesh and blood, Yaakov Avinu died. But in the world of Drush, the essence of Yaakov Avinu remains alive today. That he is with us throughout our gullus. We have the skuyos of Yaakov Avinu even as we are today. So that idea of Yaakov Avinu lames, while we're going through gullus, no, he never died. So even though in Pshat he died.
You're saying that Drush is not literal.
Drush can be literal, but is not meant to be taken in the literal sense in order to understand the psukim. But can it be literal? Yeah, it could be. We just don't know. The point of the Medrash is not for that, as we've said many, many, many times.
The Rambam is very clear as to,
Agreed, but we have the Marsha, who I would say is the quintessential sefer that everybody uses on Agadata, and the Agadata is, right, in the fifth paragraph. No, he's not, because he doesn't write on the Agadata specifically.
No, but I'm saying the way he says to interpret
Rambam. I don't agree with that. That's not the way the Rambam says it either. But the Marsha is the quintessential sefer that everybody uses on Agadata, and the fifth paragraph of Bava Basra, he's very clear. There might be upshot here. Who cares? No, that's not what we're dealing with, but that's the idea. So either way, here.
Good question. This is Divrei Hayamim, which is, it's a chronicle. It's a family tree of anything. If there's any book in Nevi'im, this one is Pshat only.
Chazal have the specific line that's said over here. I'm going to get you the line exactly, in which it says, Lo nitin Divrei Hayamim el lidrush. That's in Vayikra Rabba, Perek Aleph, Palacha Gimel. Lo nitan divrei hayamim el lidrush. When it goes through over here in Psachim and Daf Samach Bezim Abez, there were 400 camel loads of ideas that were needed to explain one parak of Divrei Hayamim, right? The task of Divrei Hayamim consumed Bruria's life in that Gemara. That Gemara, it says, she learned 300 halachos every single day in Divrei Hayamim to be able to understand what it is. It was concealed, according to that Gemara over there, it weakened the Chachamim and dimmed, so to speak, their vision. It's extremely difficult to go through. So now, when you go through there, and the idea behind it is, yes, there's the physical chronological history of the Jews, but there is a higher form of a spiritual ascension, so to speak, within Divrei Hayamim. So there is not just dates, places, and events in which you'd think it's just like a history book and it'd just be treated like that. The reason why it's in the Chof Dalet Sfarim, the reason why it's not just a Sefer HaMakabim or, anything else that did not make it into our annals, into our 24, is because there were still Sfarim that were written before this, like, for example, Ben Sira, right? But because those didn't make it, but this does, it's because of the second level here, the second level that goes in as well. So genealogy, we typically understand children to be just simply put, children are the son of whatever. But Chazal tell us that Talmidim can also be considered children. And we're going to see there are very specific psukim over here that are stiras, that are contradictory to what we have in the psukim in Shmuel Beis, etc. And the reason why will be because of the teachers, because of another thing that's mentioned over here.
One of the 24 books made in because they have an added level of meaning. There's
Drush
something more spiritual beyond like just
and
what.
That's what Divrei Hayamim is going to have, an extra little thing that's going to be a little bit thorough. He goes and explains in a very Rav Schwab type manner. The way he says it is, a poet could tell you that millions of Jews died from a drop of ink. Now, how did millions of Jews die from a drop of ink? Obviously, it's not true. Well, in theory, right, at the meeting of 24 Nazi officials, right, at Wannsee, there was a document that formalized the final solution that was adopted and signed. When that drop of ink was used to sign the paper, from that drop of ink, millions of Jews died. Now, obviously, the drop of ink didn't kill the millions of Jews, but the concept is clear. That is the type of idea that we're going to use for part of this, not all of it. Some of it is going to be pretty clear, but for part of it, that is going to be a little bit hard for us to completely understand. So here we go. We say Adam Sheis Enosh. That's the very, very beginning of the Sefer. Adam Sheis Enosh. Those three contained the likeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why they're separated from everybody else. They were completely, they had the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tzelem Elokim that Hashem wanted in the world. After Enosh, that changed. Chazal say, and this is from the Rambam in the beginning of Helchos Avodah Zarah, Enosh is the one who claimed there was more to God than just the regular stuff, that the idols took over in such a way.
That was 1,200 years after, or 1,200 generations?
It was, and it probably would have been about 800 to 900 years after, because Enosh was, it wasn't at Enosh's death. Enosh died at around the year 1,200 altogether. I don't remember exactly the amount over there, but that's that. And then there was another generation, Kenan Mahalalel Yored. Kena Mahalalel Yored was bad times, where things were just going very, very badly and people were acting in evil ways. But then you have another generation, Chanoch Misushelach Lamach. All three of those were tremendous tzaddikim. Chanoch, Misushelach, and Lamach were very, very big tzaddikim. We don't see much about Lamach, but the Midrashim go on about Chanoch and Misushelach, of how great they were, and it's very, very different in how they went through. And from there we get Noach Shem Cham Yafes. Now you see a difference over here. That was father, son, then son, then son, then son, then son, then son. Then son, then son. Noach is a son, and then Shem, Cham, and Yafes are all three sons of Noach. So it switches the way that it's giving over the narrative as if there's something a little bit different over here.
Well,
they are referring to.
They're all mentioned in Bereishit.
Correct, correct. But that still, the style switches right over here from what it was beforehand. Now, B'nai Yefes. Now we're going to go into the different children. B'nai Yefes, and because of this, Chazal say that Yefes may have been the oldest child, even though he's mentioned third, right? But nonetheless, he may have been the oldest child because he's the first one mentioned over here. The other way is that Yefes was the wisest child, which is interesting. You would have thought that would be true about Shem, but that's a good machlokas in Sanhedrin in the 8th parak.
Why bother with Yefes and Shechem if we're only talking about Yehuda here?
Again, you want to go through the 70 nations of the world and how it split off. So we are going to mention the 70 nations. We're going to see, we're also going to mention out of the Kavod of Avram, the children of Yishmael, and out of Kavod of Yitzchak, the children of Esav, which is Edom, and then it stops and we go straight back, similar to how the Torah goes through. But yeah, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Yavon, Suval, Meshach, Vesiros. B'nai Gomer, you have Ashkenaz, Ridifas, and Sogarma. B'nai Yavon, Elisha, Sarshisha, Kitim, Rodanim. Now it is interesting, Rodanim is interesting because it was known as Dodanim before. It could be that at first they were Dodanim, abusive toward the Jews. Maybe it was at the beginning they were Rodan and they were easygoing and then they became harsher. Maybe it was the opposite. Maybe at first they were harsher and then they were. But either way, the word Rode as opposed to Dodan, I guess the Rafa versus Dofi, invective, I guess you can say over there. B'nei Cham, Kush u'Mitzrayim Put u'Chanan. And then afterward comes the sons of Cham, Kush u'Mitzrayim Put and Chanan. U'B'nei Kush, and then what goes through, right? The sons of Kush are Sva, Chavila, Safto, Rama, Vesavtecha, B'nei Rama, Shva, Udidan, Kushelet is Nimrod, there was Nimrod born, who Echelios Gibor Ba'aretz, and there's a big Shaila why Nimrod is mentioned over here. He is definitely not one of the 70 nations. However, because of his antagonistic approach to Avram's monotheism, it could be that he was added on here because he was an extremely great man, even though he was not a separate nation. Mitzrayim Elad is Ludim. These are probably, well, we don't know exactly. Can't guess on this.
Luddites.
So that's Anumim. I'm sorry?
Luddites.
Yeah, whatever that means. As anumimus lohavimus naftuchim, pasrusim the kasluchim, ashriyatum misham plishtim. The plishtim came from their vast kaftorim. Kaftorim was supposed to be very, very small people, almost like midgets. I don't know, small
pygmies.
Pygmies. Yeah, it's very possible that's what it refers to. It's the Medrash seems to recognize where you're. Canaan, yoled sidon bechoroves ches, Canaan sidon en ches, ves yevusi amori and girgashi, chivi arki and sini, arvadi, tsmari, and chamasi. These are supposed to be the 10 nations, right, that took over. Then there's 9 over here, but Canaan, I guess, counts in and of itself, right? But that took over most of Eretz Yisrael. Ches would have counted over here as well. So maybe it goes all the way through. Regardless, we have all of his kids right over here.
He just found a Canaanite king's tomb in northern Israel.
Oh, really?
Very cool. He was wearing like a golden necklace. He's
how far north? By Lebanon?
It was, no, Megiddo.
How far is Megiddo? I don't know what that is.
Megiddo is like a little bit south of Tzfat.
Oh, yeah, Tzfat. Okay, so it's mostly in the land.
But they also found is that Lebanese people are 93% descended from Canaanites.
Really? Well, that's amazing.
But that was cool. The same article I read today. It was some archaeological finds. So they found it was a man, a woman, and a child. The child's about 10 years old. The woman's in her mid-30s. The man's in his mid-50s.
Yeah.
And the man was wearing this gold necklace, and it was very interesting.
And he had
all this, like, pots and vases and everything.
You know, because there's a Reb Schwab that goes into the Canaanim, that there were two types of Canaanim, the Canaanim that lived in Eretz Yisrael and the Canaanim that lived outside of Eretz Yisrael. So I'd love to see if they're Canaanim.
The tomb was 3,600 really cool. years old.
He says, how could the Shvatim have married the Canaanim, etc., because they didn't want to. And he said, one of his answers is that they married the Canaanim outside of Eretz Yisrael, who were merchants, which is where the word comes from. There were Canaanites that lived in, there were Canaanim that lived out. So I'd love to see if there's something similar that was outside. That's what I was thinking. Okay, and then we go, Canaanim, so we have those. B'nai Shem, this is in Yud Zayin, everyone. B'nai Shem, Elam Ba'ashur, Pachshad, Lud, and Aram. Utz, Hul, Geser, and Meshech. Our Pachshad, Yolos, Shoach, Shal, Yolos, Aver, Ula, Aver, Yolos, Shnei, Bonim. There were two sons, Shem, Echad, Pelek, Yom, Nivigal, Arts, because in his days, that's when Migdal, Bavel happened. That was 1656. Shem, Echad, Yoktan. Right, I'm sorry, not 1650, 1948. 1656 was the Mabul. 1948. B'shem Achiv Yoktan, his brother's name was Yoktan. Yoktan Yolev Zalmodad, Shalev Chartamavaz and Yorach, Hadoram Uzal Dikla, Eva Avimoel Shva, Ophir Chavila, Yovav Kolev and Yoktan. Those are the sons of Yoktan. Shem Arpachshad Shalach, right? There was Shem, then Arpachshad, then Shalach. Aver, then Peleg, then Reu, Srug, Nachor, and Tarach. It's possible this also is different, three generations where each one was separate from one another, we're not sure. Avram, who Avraham? He became Avraham. B'nai Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yishmael. Now, it's interesting, Yitzchak was not the oldest, Yishmael was the oldest. Why would the Pasuk put Yitzchak first? And it's obvious, because we say in the Torah itself that Yishmael was mishabed himself to Yitzchak Avinu, allowed Yitzchak to bury Avram first and did tshuva. That's what Rashi says right over there, so it's possible that it's mentioned Yitzchak first.
It wasn't Meshavet himself to Yitzchak. You can say that, well, the Torah's narrative follows Yitzchak, so Yitzchak's going to come first.
It is interesting, though, but you see right here that we're not going, so the oldest child is not necessarily mentioned first.
Right.
Which is why we could say by Shem, Chum, and Yafes, that also could be Shem was the Iker son, and then came Chum and Yafes. Who knows when it goes into something like that, which is very, very interesting over here. His prominence that allowed it to be Elo Tolzim, Bechor Yishmael, the Toldos, and these are the Toldos. The Bechor was Yishmael. Okay, and then Nevayos. It could be the Yishmael's Bechor is Nevayos, or Yishmael was the Bechor. V'keder Adel Mivsam. Mishma V'duma Masa Chadar V'seima. Yitur Nafish V'kedma Elim B'nei Yishmaelim. These are the children of Yishmael, all 12. 12 of them, and we do see the number 12 quite a bit when it comes to these kids. B'nei Keturah. Pilegesh Avraham. The son of Keturah, who was the concubine of Avraham. Yolda Zimran Yakshan Medan Midyan. Yishbach V'shuach B'nei Yakshan Shva Udidan. Yakshan had those two kids as well. Now, we did see Shuach, if you'll remember from Eov, Bildad Hashuchi came from him. We also saw Tsofer Hana'amasi. Tsofer Hana'amasi was one of these kids, but we don't know who. Midyan somehow was involved with Yisro, whether Yisro was a grandson or a son. The Medrash says he was the son of Midyan. We don't see his name over here. B'nai Midyan, Eifa ve'Efer v'Chanoch. This is the second Chanoch that we've seen. Actually, Chanoch, if I remember correctly, is the most prolific name in Tanakh. It's used by four different people in the Chumash alone. He's one of the sons of Esav, one of the sons of Midyan, one of the sons of Chanoch, obviously, all the way from the beginning, right, from the children of Mesushelach. And Chanoch is also a son of Reuven, four times
so
in Tanakh.
Kind of son had a kind of
there might have been a fifth then. Could even be a fifth, yeah.
I know in the next class, it's going to say Esav Yisrael. Why wouldn't Yaakov go first?
That might be because of the chashivas of Esav and how Esav was never Meshabit himself. If you say that we're going with the Iker children, then you're right. It should be Yaakov
right.
first.
I mean,
but if we don't, if we say that it...
Esav sold his birthright, which means there's more...
In essence, he's right there. But because he's born first, we probably still had to put him first because he was never Meshabit himself to Yaakov the way that Yishmael did. Yeah, it's very well, very good call though. Avida, Elda, Kol, Ibn Keturah, all of those were the children of Keturah itself. Still very important people and also part of the seven nations. Vayolad Avram, Yitzchak, and Yitzchak, Esav, the Yisrael. Now, here is a really, really interesting thing over here. Now, first of all, when it goes through Yisrael, if you'll notice over here that it says it does not go through Yaakov. In fact, Yaakov is only used twice throughout all of Divrei Hayamim, which is interesting. And since Divrei Hayamim is focused on the destiny of the Jewish people and their greatness, not on their struggles, Yaakov isn't used, which is a name denoting the struggle of grabbing the ankle. It's Yisrael, which is denoting the greatness thereof. Only once or twice is where he uses it.
Wrong, yeah. When it does say Yaakov in Divrei Hayamim, it's spelled with an extra vav.
It might be. It might be once that it's spelled with an extra vav. We're going to see it. Where we have it. The only two exceptions are both in Perek Tazayin, and both are in David HaMelech's song, right? They are not mentioned in reference to names and stuff like that. B'nei Esav, Eliphaz Ul Yeush Yalom Bekorach, B'nei Eliphaz, Teman Ba'omer Tzvi V'gatum Kenaz V'simna V'amalek. Now we're going to see over here, there were two Timnas. There was a male Timna and there was a female Timna. The reason why we go into the female Timna and go into it, and we mention her over here, is because... And really, this was Menashe's problem. Menashe the king, the son of Chizkiah, his biggest problem is he looked at the Torah and he's like, why in the world did you mention Timna? Who cares about this woman and all the children of Esav and everything like that? Right, and going through over here. And the pshat is, it shows you the reverence that the people of the world had. Timna was a princess and she came over to Klal Yisrael, to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to convert, I'm using that with air quotes, to come to Judaism, right, to do what they were doing. And Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, for whatever reason they believed in, rejected her, said, you're not good enough.
No,
we can't have you in. I'm
sorry?
It might be somewhere else. But you saw both of them?
I only saw one.
There should be two. There should be two in there. But either way, but that's that. Undeterred, she came over to Eliphaz, right, the son of Esav. She became his concubine instead. That shows you how great they are and the way it goes through there.
They're both spelled normal?
Okay, so it goes through. We do have the five times that he spelled, five times that he spelled with the vav. Right, so whatever those are, four of them are in the same place, if I remember correctly. Four of them in Yeshaya or something like that. Okay, either way, we have that. B'nei Ru'uel, Nach Zerach Shamal Miza, B'nei Seir, Lot and Ushovot Tzivon V'Ana, right? Anna is the one that found those mules. Dishon V'Eitzer V'Dishon, B'nei Lotan Chori V'Homam, right? Achos Lotan Timna, the sister of Lotan is Timna. B'nei Shovol, Al Yonu Manachas V'Evel, Shvi V'Onam, B'nei Tzivon Ayi V'Ana. That's what we were just talking about with Timna. That's the only reason why. Yeah, Timna was the only reason why. Right, the Ayva Ana, Bnei Ana Dishon, Bnei Dishon Chamran, the Eshbam, the Yisra Nachran, Bnei Itzer Bilam Zavan Yakan, Bnei Dishon Utzva Aron, Ela Melachon. Okay, so before we go on, obviously there's a lot of things over here that goes through who these people were, whatever. If you look through the Torah itself, it seems there's a lot of mamzerim going on over here. I one time made a little chart of all the mamzerim, if these people are the same. It's amazing who slept with who. Amazing, absolutely amazing. It's like, you know, a real one of those. What do they call those shows on TV? The
Markovich.
No, I was thinking of like the Real Housewives or things like that. Like all the
what do you
horrible
know from
shows.
That?
I don't. I,
yeah,
wish I did. Yeah. I wish I did. Yeah, I wish I did because it sounds so
have,
good.
This is Real like, this is like a Chicago. Jerry Springer type.
Just waiting for the first Real Housewives of Lincolnwood to come out, you know, something like that. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, this it's pretty bad there. And here we go, guys. It says over here, the Elam Malachim. Oh, I skipped one over thing over here. Chamron. It's interesting over here. So Chamron really is from the word Chamor, right? Chamor. In the Torah, in Bereishis, his name is Chemdon, right? Because as a young kid, he was very desirable. Everybody thought he was really cute. When he grew up, he just was a donkey. So nobody cared about him anymore. Donkeys are really cute when they're little babies. They get really ugly when they get older, and nobody wants to go anywhere near them.
That was his name. I mean, at least in the way the Torah refers to the Chamor, is somebody who's materialistic.
Yeah, very good. So you would have been a very materialistic, physical type of person. Elam Malach Meshamokel Baritz Edom. These are the kings that were kings in the land of Edom. Lufnei Malach Malach Lufnei Yisrael. Before there was even a king in Bnei Yisrael. Bela Ben Baor Shemer Dinavo. Lots of questions on who this guy is. Is this any relation to, you know, Bilam Ben Baor, etc.? Is this Bilam the son of Baor? His city was Dinavo. Does it have any sheiches to him? Is this somebody else entirely? Lots of drushim coming here. Vayamos Bala Vayimloch Taktov Yova Ben Zerach Mi Botra. Vayamos Yova Vayimloch Taktov Husham. Right, Hushim is the name of the son of Dun, which is very interesting, but he comes from the land of the south. Yamas Husham, Yam Lotat of Hadad Ben Bedad, Hamakas Midia Bistay Moavi, destroyed Midia, Meshem Iro Avis, Yamas Adav, Yam Lotat of Samlom, Yamas Rego, Yamas Samlom, Yam Lotat of Shol Mirachovus and Arm, Shol, Jewish name, Yamas Shol, Yam Lotat of Balchanan, Ben Achbor, also a Jewish name, Yamas Balchanan, Yam Lotat of Hadad, or Hadad, I'm sorry, Meshem Iro Pai, Meshem Yishom, Hetav El Bas Matrade Bas Meza Hov, which is a really nice name. Vayamas Hadad, right? And it says, Vayu Alufe Adam, Aluf Timna, here are the Alufim. There was Timna, Aluf Alva, Aluf Yeses, Aluf Alibama, Aluf Eila, Aluf Pinon, Aluf Knaz, Aluf Teman, Aluf Mibtor, Aluf Magdil, Aluf Yiram, Eila, Aluf Adam. They say a famous medrash over here that Eliyahu HaNavi once went, I forgot who was with him, as they went from one city to the other. A bunch of people, they didn't invite him over, they didn't give them any real food, and whatever it was. So he blessed them, and he said, you should be gebenched, that all of you should be leaders. Then he went to another city, and everybody invited him over, and went to Bekoshi. They were very poor, and they didn't have much, but they gave them everything they could. And Eliyahu said, you should be benched, that you have one good leader. So the Amora went up to him, and he said to him, well, why did you do that? Was it Rishu Ben Levi? It might have been, yeah. But he went up to him, and he said, why did you do that? And he told him, I told you not to ask me any questions. He said, but still. So he said, if you have a city with too many leaders, you can't make any decisions. And if you can't make any decisions, then nothing good comes in that city. So the fact that there were so many Alufim there was was not a mila. It was a terrible thing because they couldn't make any real decisions. Everybody considered themselves their own leaders. Nothing ended up working. Now, Eli ben Yisrael. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. Don Yosef, Binyamin, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. Now, that's unbelievably interesting. It happens to be the only order like this throughout the entire Torah where Don is taken out. Now, obviously, it's not in chronological order because Yisachar and Zvulun would have been the youngest out of everyone there, right, aside from Yosef and Binyamin. Right, Yisachar's only shipping after Don, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. Naphtali, Gad, Asher, putting them at the very, very end were extremely, extremely strange things, and why you're going to put anybody like this, putting this over here. Now, it's possible because Rachel brought Bilhah into the family, right? And that's why there's a schus. Don was the reason why Rachel was Zochet to have Yosef and Binyamin. So really, it should have been Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, Binyamin, Don, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, because Don, Naphtali, and Gad, Asher were from the Bnei Shvachos. But because Don was the schus that Rachel had in order to have children later, therefore Don is put first. It's a possibility. There may be other ideas behind this, but this is the only time it's like this throughout. That was from, where was it over here? The Radak, right? That's from the Radak itself. Right, so there we go. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yefei Torah and Bereshis Rabba. Yefei Torah and Bereshis Rabba. So here we go. Then it says, B'nei Yehuda, Er v'onan v'shela. You have Er, Onan, and Shela. Shlosha nolulom yibas Shua Kananis. He had those three born from the daughter of Shua, the Kananis. And that's where they get into the question, was this really a Kananis woman or was it a merchant? Rashi translated it as a merchant. But he Er b'chor Yehuda. Er was the b'chor of Yehuda. Rabbe in Hashem, he was evil in the eyes of Hashem, which is interesting. It is his name. Bayim Yisei, and he was killed.
Is
it possible that Bathsheba
is her name, like Bathsheba or something like that?
It is possible. But the Mephorshim there in Bereshis, they ask why she's only known by her father's name and not by hers. No good answers. Not great. You know, it's just the usual, whatever it is. Shua was an important man and whatever it was. Some say it's specifically the name of Esav. Shua is the same letters of Esav. Very interesting stuff that comes out of here. The other interesting thing here, if you notice, right, Onan isn't mentioned. Doesn't mention anything about Onan. No. But meaning by Yair before Yudei, Rabbi and Hashem b'Miseu, no mention of Onan marrying him. Shrub Yaakov Kamenetsky speaks about this quite a bit.
Maybe he didn't have any kids.
I'm sorry?
Maybe he didn't have any kids.
He didn't, but Onan also married Tamar and died.
Yeah, it says that Er died.
If you're going to mention that Er died, you might as well mention that Onan died. Why not mention both? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky talks about this. He gives an awesome line of reasoning that goes into the point of what Yibum is and how Yibum existed before the Torah and how really it's to take over the Bechor status and Er was the Bechor. Really, truly an unbelievable pshat from Yaakov. It's like a two-page piece. That goes through,
that
yeah.
Make, I mean, I'll, obviously this wouldn't be a traditional, but the concept of Yibum exists not just with the Bechor. If the second child dies, the third child...
Correct. It's
child
all for the Bechor, not for any of the other children. So
meaning the Bechor has the first right of
Correct. And there's something that's there specifically to take over the Bechor status. He goes into a massive chiddush that before the Torah was given, anybody who married that girl who was married to the Bechor took over the Bechor status. So Onan would have been the Bechor from that point on and took in the double portion and everything like that.
Given, there was a different understanding because we see from Boaz, who was not a Yavam from the Torah.
Right, he was a Goel though. Right, there was some type of Goel. But certainly a father-in-law would never be able to do this. He goes into why Yehuda specifically could have done this and started over and Peretz became the new Bechor. Really an unbelievable piece. I don't want to say all of it. I said it over in one of my shiurim once. It's a tremendous piece from Yaakov. But this was his big thing. Yes, correct.
He was a Patriarchum of Tamar.
But now the Bechor of Yehuda.
Right.
But he calls it, he becomes a Bechor, so to speak. But Tamar Kalaf, the old Lord's parents, says, Zorach, Kol B'nei Yehuda Chamisha, all the children of Yehuda then became five, B'nei Peretz Chatzur Mechamul, there was Chatzur Mechamul. Now, it's very unlikely that Yehuda only had five children. Just simply put, it's very unlikely that ended up happening. That he didn't marry any other wives and he didn't have any other kids. Right? But nonetheless, the five that we consider of the 70 that went down in Mitzrayim are these five.
But then also, you say Don only had one child. I mean, maybe they did.
It's true as well, right? There's a lot of questions about that because it says, B'nei Don Hushim.
And then it says even in the genealogy, no other children are accounted for.
Yeah, we don't count anybody else there. And yet they still were prolific. 62,000 children were in Don by the time they left the Midbar. B'nei Zara Zimri Ve'esan Ve'heman Ve'chalko Ve'dara Ve'kul and Chamisha. There were five. B'nei Karmi, Ocher, Ocher Yisrael. There was Ocher. He was the Ocher Yisrael. Sharmal Bacherim. He was over on the Cherim. So this is clearly Achan, who had sinned by the times of Yoshua. The reason why he's called Acher over here is because of the dirtiness that he caused of Bnei Yisrael, that he messed over on the Cherem and caused 36 people to die. Bnei Esan Azaria, right? Ubnei Chetzron Asher Nolo Esirach Me'el Ves Rum Es Kluvoi, right? So we'll see Chetzron and Rum are going to be very important. Rum holy to Aminadav. Everybody knows Aminadav because he gave birth to Nachshon, Nisi Bnei Yehuda, who was the Nasi of Bnei Yehuda, the famous Nachshon Ben Aminadav.
Nachshon, how is it? Well, okay, never mind, sorry.
Nachshon holy to Salma. Salma holy to Boaz. Boaz holy to Oved. Oved holy to Yishai. The Yishai, very interesting that the Aleph is added onto his name over here. Holy to Bechoro is Aliyav, Vavinadav Asheni. There was Aliyav and then Avinadav. And Shima HaShlishi. Those are the three sons, the first three sons of Yishai that are mentioned, right? They're the ones that went out to war. Nisan Orvi, Radaya Hamishi, Otsa Mashishi, David Hashvi. Lots of interesting things over here, because first of all, in the Psukim in Shmuel Beis, it's very clear that there were seven brothers plus David. Where is that seventh brother? Why isn't he mentioned over here? It's clear that Yishai brought in his seven sons to Shmuel. Shmuel rejected them all, and then they brought in David. So what in the world does it mean over here that there were only seven? What happened to the eighth one over here? Now, first of all, there was a lot of interesting things over here. Are there any people missing over here? Because this is not a lot of years, right, until the times of David. 400-something years, 480 years from the times of Yehuda would have been even more so, but Nachshon Minadav left Mitzrayim, we know, right? To get from Nachshon Minadav to David was 400 years. And over here, we have Nachshon, Salma, Boaz, Oved, Yishai, David. Six generations in 400 years. That's a lot of years for only six generations. And that's possible. We might be missing out on some people over here, but clearly there's something up. Maybe they lived a little bit longer, but we don't see that necessarily. Maybe they gave birth at a very, very old age, but again, it's something a little bit interesting. Yishai, we know some really, really great things. He gave shirim to enormous crowds. He was one of the four people who never sinned, right? And we over here. So there are three answers as to this whole thing. What happened to the eighth child of Yishai? What happened to him over here? Mitsuda says that David and six of the brothers were all children from one mother, from Nitzeves Basodoel, and there was another one, right? Another child from another mother, right? But that was that. She was the son of another wife. That is straight out from the Mitsudos. The Radak says another opinion that Yishai's other son wasn't counted because he died childless and he didn't have any children at the end of his life. Therefore, he doesn't count over here. He's not mentioned over here, right? Or now that David HaMelech's name is mentioned, we're not going to mention the other child. Perhaps there was an eighth child that was younger than David, right? It doesn't seem that way, but perhaps there was, right? But once we find the gem, we don't have to mention the eighth brother. Forget about the other people over here. We're going to now ignore them and go to this. Ach Yoseim, the sisters were Tsruya and Abigail, Bnei Tsruya. We know that sons of Tsruya were Avishai, right? We know Avishai very well. He's one of the generals. Yoav and Asoel, Shlosha, that's three altogether. We know Asoel was the one, the swift one, who chased after Avner and obviously was killed. He was in that war between Avner and Yoav. Avigail, Yoldos Amasa. Avigail, right, that was the sister of David. It's interesting, by the way. Can you marry someone whose name is the same as your sister? Clearly, yeah, because David HaMelech married an Avigail. He had a sister named Avigail as well. Avigail gave birth to Amasa. We'll see.
Who says that you can't?
Sefer HaChassidim in his Savos. There's three different simanim that goes through. Yeah. And one of them is brothers, sisters with names. It's a question of how to read it. If brothers marry sisters or if it's the same names.
Is a girl allowed to marry me if her father's
not Shlomo? So, halakhically speaking, the Sefer HaChassidim says no. But the Noda B'Yehuda was very famous as saying that will is not something to be taken for everybody. You had that situation. You got married and the girl's... Oh, okay. Just in case. Just in case. Yeah. So either way, but Avigail gave her to Amasa. But Avi Amasa, Yester HaYishma'eli, right? And the father of Amasa, right, this is the husband of Avigail, is Yester HaYishma'eli. Now, it's very unlikely, obviously, that this is actually an Arab person, right? Because it would be unlikely that Yishai, the man with no sins, married his daughter off to an Arab person. Most likely, this is somebody who lived among the Arab lands, and that's where he was from over there. That's the idea behind it. Yeah. Well, we have the same thing with Itayagiti, Uriahiti. It could be they're from that land. We're going to see there's Ger Amalekim. They're from the land of Amalek, but they weren't actual Amalekim because they had just wiped out all of Amalekim. So it's all these different types of people over here.
Could be a Ger from Yishai.
Very, very good. The second thing is that there is a Medrash in Rus Rabbah, right, that this man, the Yishmaeli, one time passed by the shir of Yishai, heard the awesome Divrei Torah coming from his mouth, and immediately converted. That is a medrash that he converted because he wanted it, and subsequently he married Yishai's daughter, Abigail. Or it could be he was a person, this is what the medrash says, girded his sword like Yishmaeli, and went to war against Doeg HaAdomi, who was claiming that David HaMelech was not Jewish. That David HaMelech was not able to become Jewish because of Rustam Moavia. So he's known as the Yishmaeli, that he fought like that. No, it's like that, meaning he said, Ammoni v'lo Ammonis. He was the one that fought to be able to let it be known. He was obviously not from this family, but he married into the family, saying there was no problem with it whatsoever, and he was okay. I've always wondered about that. It takes a little bit of work to be able to go through it, because even if Rus did, right, marry, you wouldn't think it's like a mamzer that lasts. You'd think that after time, let's say Rus's and, you know, Rus's and Boaz's kid, Oved, married a Jewish woman. The Yishai should have been fine.
But no, it says those are the three things that it says, Afilu Eserdor, even after 10 generations, they're still not clean.
It's a little bit hard. I always thought it went by the mother when it came to that. But you might be right. I've always thought that way, but I don't know. It's clearly not. You're 100% right. I just always thought that way.
No, but even if you're right, it still would be considered a taint in the lineage of the king.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's a very strange line to me. Either way, regardless. Kaleb ben Chatzon, holy to Zazuva. Now we have Kaleb ben Chatzon. Lots of questions on this over here. Some say that Kaleb ben Chatzon is really Kaleb ben Yefuneh. He's known as the son of Chatzon because that's his actual father's name.
Even if he would be a full Jew, he wouldn't be from the Zera of Yehuda.
Right. That would have been true. Kaleb ben Chatzon could have been Kaleb ben Yehuda. If a Kaleb ben Yefuneh, I'm sorry. And the reason why he's called Yefuneh, even though his father's name was Chatzon, is because he turned away from the Atzas Meraglim. He was Pana from the Atzas Meraglim over there, right after he had heard everything that was going on. However, there are those that say that this Kalev ben Chatzron is not the same Kalev from later on. Now, we're going to use first the Midrashic interpretation over here. Holy to Azuva, Isha. He gave birth, so to speak, through Azuva, his wife. Now, doesn't that sound weird? He gave birth to Azuva, his wife? But that's not what it means. He gave birth through Azuva's wife. Who is Azuva? Azuva refers to Miriam. Why was she called Azuva? Because everyone left her alone and didn't want to marry her because she got very sickly. Nobody wanted to marry her, and Kalev therefore got up and married her. The interesting part behind that is that we've spoken about before, Miriam was was 86 years old when they left Mitzrayim. That we have down, right? She was older than Moshe, that for sure. We know that Moshe was 80 years old when he left Mitzrayim, and Aaron was 83. That it says in the Psukim. Miriam was the oldest of the three. She was at least 84. The Medrash tells us she was 86, okay? Kalev, we know how old he was. He was 40 years old when they left, 39 years old when they left Mitzrayim, 40 years old when he got sent out as a spy. And the reason why we know that is because later on he goes to Yoshua and he says, I am now 85. When they were already in Eretz Yisrael, and they had already spent 7 years, etc., meaning he was 40 years old. A 40-year-old married an 86-year-old who was sickly?
This is one of those strange midrashim that is talking about the essence, not the
Here's the problem. These are not midrashim. The fact that Kalev is 45 years old is a straight-out pasuk in Yoshua.
No. I'm saying that they are married.
Oh, they say that this is Miriam, you're saying. Right. Oh, yeah, that's the hard one, but it's strange to say something that is
Yehudah. You know?
It's unbelievable.
She can't have children. How do you know?
When he's born, she's already like
Sarah had children at like, you know,
at an older age.
That was a miracle. Torah tells us it was a miracle.
Well, Yochabed also maybe, right? We're dealing with those. But if we go with Miriam... Listen, it is strange. It is strange. But you can it definitely can be, especially since we have Sarah. So it can be. It's just, it's hard. This would be hard. But look what it says. That's Urios and Urios as well. Now, who is Urios over here? Who is Urios? Again, that's a reference to the way Miriam was. That Miriam looked like, and it's a little strange to say it this way, she looked like somebody that did not look good. We'll call it that way. It says, Ve'ela ben Ahira are children, Yesher, Veshova, Ve'ardon, Vatamas Azuva. And then Azuva died. Vayikach lo Kalev is Ephros. And then Kalev took Ephrat. And according to the Medrash, Ephrat is a reference to Bisya, the daughter of Paro, who also would have been extremely old, probably older than Miriam. So you're dealing with even super older, which is unbelievable.
There's a proof in this pasuk that Azuva is not Miriam. And Vatamas Azuva died. So Miriam died at the end of the 120 years. Then he married Ephrat. And then through Ephrat, he had Hur, then who had Uri, who had Betala. They were at the beginning of it. So if Miriam is Azuva...
What do you mean the beginning of it?
They built the Mishkan at the beginning of the 40 years.
Uh-huh.
but he only married their mother after his first wife died, which would have been at the end
true.
Of the
years. Now, we do know years. We do have years down, right? And the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about this, because again, we have years down. Bezalel must have been at least 13, the Medrash says, when he built the Mishkan, right? Fine. We know how old Kalev is. And we also know that Kalev is the great-grandfather of Bezalel.
This is bruising my
so
point.
We, no, yes. But we already have a mess up in Pshat over here. Because if you're dealing with just Pshat, and we know right. that he's 40 years old and left, at the time that Bezalel is 13, Kalev is 40, possibly 39. Okay? He has a 13-year-old great-grandson when he's 39.
Yeah, right.
There's something wrong here. Now, it could be that Kalev ben Chatzron is not Kalev ben Yefuneh. It could be it's a different person, and Kalev ben Chatzron is much, much older. It's a possibility, right?
Okay,
that is a possibility, right? But nonetheless, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin goes through and says something's up, because that means they all gave birth at the age of 8, right? And they all were impregnating at the age
also,
of 8, which is obviously almost impossible.
Right.
We've never seen an 8-year-old. So now you're dealing with two different, totally different things. You have now an 8-year-old marrying a 60-year-old who's sickly.
So here's how I understand it. Kalev ben Chetzron is not Kalev ben Yefuneh. Azuva is not Miriam, and it works completely.
Well, you could say, well then you could say that Kalev ben Chetzron, and it is Miriam, because it could have been younger.
No, because it says that
if
after
Kalev
she,
ben Chetzron is not Kalev ben
right.
Yefuneh,
oh, yeah.
then you could say it's Miriam.
No, you can't, because it says after Miriam died, if Azuva is Miriam, this
maybe
Kalev
she,
married Ephrat, who then had Hur, who then had Uri, who then had Bezalel, but Bezalel was already active before Miriam died.
Since there's an Asnachta there, you could say Vatamas Azuva that Miriam did die, you are 100% right. And then also Kalev took. It doesn't have to be the Vayikra lo Kalev took
say,
afterward. No, 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 it doesn't matter. Same
Pasuk
does not matter.
And the Pasuk,
no, does not make a difference. So Pasuk has the same status as an Asnachta when it comes to being Mafsika Pasuk. That's that doesn't matter to me at all. In fact, the fact that there's an Asnachta in the beginning of the Pasuk, right, that means it's really connected to the last Pasuk, and this starts off a new one. So really, it's read as, she gave birth to everything, but Thomas Azuva, and then she died. Next Pasuk, by Yikalo Kalev Zafras,
that
she also
that
had that.
She died, it seems, the point of telling me she died, I mean, he took a second wife only after she died.
Again,
that's
if you're dealing with, if you wanted to get a drush out of that, maybe. But we're, if we're going with Pshat, then it doesn't matter. We deal with Asnaptas.
I think going with Pshat.
No. Asnaptas is a different thing.
Even if there's a Asnapta, the fact that it's telling me that it's Azuva died, and then it says Vayikach, and he took...
The Vav is immaterial because the Vav is always there. Again, an Asnachta does not. Asnachta is specifically in the beginning of a Pasuk, leads it to the Pasuk before.
I'm telling you why I understand it. You don't have to agree with me.
Okay. No. But again, but that's how an Asnachta works in the beginning of a Pasuk as opposed to the middle of a Pasuk.
Fine.
But, okay. No, whatever. Grammatically, that's how they do it. They do it at the beginning of the Pasuk in order to connect
it. I'm not discounting it. I just think it makes more sense to say that it's.
Okay.
A continuation of the puzzle.
Fine.
That's all I'm
so doing. Either way, but that Hur gave birth to Uri. Uri gave birth to Bezalel, right? And that's the Bezalel that we know of, who ended up doing everything, all the great things that happened over here. Now listen to this. The Achar ba Chetzron, and afterward, Chetzron was together El Bas Mechir, together with the daughter of Mechir, Avi Gilad. Right, so Chetzron was together with Mechir, again, the father of Gilad, which would have been probably the person from Menashe, but there were three Gilads in Klal Yisrael. Ulekacha, he took her, and over there, Hu ben Shishim Shana, he was 6 years old at the time, Batillo Skuv, and then he gave birth to Skuv. Skuv holy is Yair, and that Skuv gave birth to Yair, and now there are two Yair Bemenashes that we're going to see as well. There are two Yair Bemenashes that are mentioned. Vayilo Esther Mishlosh Orim Be'eretz Gilad. And he had 23 cities in the land of Gilad. All those cities were going to be around here. Now again, there are two Yairs. One Yair Be'Menashe is literally Yair Be'Menashe, right, who's the child of Menashe, etc. There's another Yair Be'Menashe that clearly is not the son of Menashe, right, because Skuv gave birth to Yair. He's known as Yair Be'Menashe because he lived in the land of Menashe, but was not actually a child of Menashe himself. Now who is the Yair Be'Menashe in the Torah? It could be a reference to this person over here. It could be a different Yair Be'Menashe. It is definitely interesting, right? It is definitely interesting how Chavos Yair, which we're about to get to, are mentioned in many different places, right? And seems to be the same cities mentioned over and over again. There was another city known as Kinas, as well as as all of its surrounding cities, Shishimir. These are all the children of Machir, the father of Gilad. And again, this is interesting when you go through Vachamos Chetzron, the Kalev, Ephrasa, right, after Chetzron died, in the area that they called Kalev Ephrasa, Mistama, because that was his father's name, Kalev and Ephras, etc. Eshes Chatzron Avia, right? What his wife, Avia over here, was whatever it is. Vatelo is Ashkur Avi Tekoa. And she gave birth to him, Ashkur, the father of Tekoa. Now, there is more to just this, because Ashkur is once again a reference, according to the Medrash, to a person by the name of Kalev, who blackened his teeth in his fasting for what happened over the Meraglim itself. You are dealing with tremendous, tremendous ideas that are mentioned over here as to why it keeps going back from one to the other. Now, here, he does give a whole long thing of who's going to be who and how it all goes through and everything like that, all based on the Gemaras that are mentioned all over the place. There's some in Megillah, there are some in Sota, right, that go through all the different Midrashim and how to go through. I don't have a full grasp on how they all work together. And again, you're dealing with a lot of weird years over here, a lot of weird years mixing them all together. So again, the point of the Medrash, I am not clear on. I have absolutely no idea why it keeps going that way. The idea of what we're trying to do over here is how Kalev was involved in so many different ways. Was this the same Kalev? I don't know. It certainly seems that way, and it certainly seems that way because the Kalev that we know of in the Torah seems to be the great-grandfather of Bezalel. Hur is the brother, is the child of Miriam, who was... It was the one who was killed by the Egel Azov, who helped hold up Moshe Rabbeinu's hand, where Aaron and Hur came on the two sides of Moshe Rabbeinu, held him up, seems to be the brother-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. If this is not the same Kalev, but this is the same Hur, you're coming into weird territory here. Just weird territory. There's another Bezalel, Ben Uri, Ben Hur, from a Kalev that is not married to Miriam, who has no shaychus to Moshe. But the Hur mentioned in the Torah is somebody else entirely. The Bezalel mentioned in the Torah may have been this guy. It's just weird. It's really, really weird, especially because Bezalel and Ben Hur seems to be the same guy that we're mentioning over here. So could it, again, you're dealing with Midrashim, so how it goes over here. But again, there's a pshat over here that I'm not so clear on. There's a Midrash over here, which I'm definitely not clear on. And again, according to this Midrashic interpretation, Kalev was 8 years old, marrying a 60-year-old, giving birth to children, and each of the children giving birth at the age of 8 to come to Bezalel, who was 13 years old when he led the Jews out, which is absolutely remarkable. And then also being married to, maybe a little bit later, to Bisya, who was even older than Miriam. Right, yeah, right. It's just, you're dealing with that. But
isn't it far more practical than to say that
practicality doesn't matter. What's the point of the Medrash? Why would Chazal darshan something where the years are weird?
And
again, also, again, if this is not the same Kalev, which you were apt to say, what is Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, Lamati Yehuda? We know who those are.
Right.
Those are not strange names. Those are names we know. They were certainly the sons of Miriam. Hur was the son of Miriam. So we have that in the Torah. We have that name.
That Hur is the son of Miriam?
For sure.
And how do we know that? They could be Miriam's sons, but why is it related to the same Kalev that we're talking about?
Again, if we're dealing with the same Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur,
right,
and we see clearly Kalev took Ephras and gave birth to Hur, if that's not Miriam, then this is a weird coincidence. There happens to be Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur l'mate Yehuda. So again, in pshat, I hear you. It's hard to understand. I think it's hard to say that through.
Was Hur's mother?
I wish I had a genealogy on me. I don't know. But here we go. The next words over here, guys, it says in Chof Hei, once we get to the Bechor of Chatzron, we have the sons of Rachmeel. Habachor Ram, right? First you have Ram, and then you have Buna, Oren, Otsam, and Achia. Ti Isha Acharis Rachmeel, Ushma Atara, He aim Onam, that's the mother of Onam. Vayubine Rom, Bechor Yerachmael, Ma'atz, Vyamin Va'ekir. Vayubine Onam, Shammai V'yada, Ubine Shammai Nada V'avishur. Shemesh Davishur Avihoyel, right? These are names that we don't unfortunately know. Vatilos Achban Mesmolid. Vine Nada Selid Apoyim. Oh, here's a good name for you. Apoyim. That's a good name. Vayama Selid Lo Banim, right? So Selid, right over here, Selid unfortunately had no children. Ubene Apayim Yishi, Ubene Yishi Sheshan, Ubene Sheshan Achloi, Ubene Yoda Achi Shammai Yeser V'Yonis, Ubene Yomas Yeser Lobanim, Ubene Yonis and Pelav Azot. You know, it's so strange, because we set up above, there were certain people that we didn't mention, like the seventh son of Yishai was not mentioned because he died childless. Over here we just mentioned two people that died childless, but we're going to mention them, but we didn't mention the eighth kid.
Wait a second, according, according to the meters you were quoting, it could be that Ephrat is Miriam, not Azuva.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying that Azuva is Miriam.
Azuva is also Miriam, according to the meters. They're
she's
both mentioned
she's
in the Gemara.
Both Ephrat, meaning Avivah died and then he married Miriam again.
Yeah, we're going to see something more because we're going to see Avigdor and Avi Tekoa, which is all the reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. So we're going to see all those as well. We just haven't gotten to them yet. Yeah. Uvenei Yonasan Peles Vizazo, Eloha Yuvenei Rachmael. Veloy Elishation Banim, Shation didn't have sons, Kim Banos, only daughters. Oh, so evil, right? It's really, I don't even know why he even had kids. It was just, well, Shation Evid Mitzriushmo Yarcha. Now, this is an interesting one. Shation had an Egyptian servant whose name was Yarcha. Try to explain that one away. It says, Bayitin Shation is Bito Liarcha, he gave his daughter over to Yarcha, Avdo Liisha. Batelo Zatoi. That's even weirder. Well, here's the problem. Egyptians can't marry into Klal Yisrael. Mitzri Rishon, Mitzri Sheni, etc. So the kids were there. What in the world was going on? And it was an Eved. Something happened here. And we just don't have any information. We're missing information. And here's the unfortunate part. There's no Gemaras on this. Literally no Gemaras on this. Clearly there's reasons for all of these names. And there's something that we're hinting to from over here. Because there's people here we have no Sheikhs to. The Ata Holid is Nasan, Nasan Holid is Zavad, Zavad Holid is Eflol, Eflol Holid is Oved, Oved Holid is Yehu, Yehu Holid is Azaria, Azaria Holid is Cholet, Cholet Holid is Elasa, Elasa Holid is Sismoy, Sismai Holid is Shalom, Shalom Holid is Yekamya, Yekamya Holid is Elishama. It's like all of a sudden, what in the world is going on over here? Now, Elishama in Yerushalmi Horius, it says that he was the grandfather of Yishmael ben Nisanya. Elishama's son was Nisanya. That son was Yishmael. Yishmael ben Nisanya, if we all remember, was the one who murdered Gedaliah ben Achikam. He was the one that murdered Gedaliah ben Achikam and killed all those people and threw them in the pit and caused what we know now of Som Gedaliah, but the end of the Jews having the land in Eretz Yisrael. They left for the next bunch of years, which is absolutely unbelievable that it happened over here. This also is strange because all of a sudden we're bringing up all these people over here and look what happens. Ubenei Kalev. And the children of Kalev. We go right back to Kalev. What in the world is happening over here? It's really, it's the strangest thing. Achi Rachmael, the sons
maybe
of Kalev.
This is the other Kalev.
I'm sorry?
This is Kalev.
It very well could be.
Because
right?
Abi Chevron, remember?
Yeah, no, 100%. But it seems like, because again, B'nai Kalev, Achi Rachmael, the brother Rachmael. Now, Rachmael, we just mentioned, is the sons of Kalev and Chetzron. So we already mentioned
maybe
him.
They were all both named for the same person.
It's just, yes. We're getting into coincidence territory.
Well, no, they're cousins. You never see cousins.
I agree.
The same.
Yes. It's just interesting. It's just interesting. It's like, it's an unbelievable. And there we go. Mesha Bechor, who Avizir. He's the father of the Zifim. The Zifim come into play quite a bit with David HaMelech. They're the ones who keep telling Shaul HaMelech where David's hiding. Ubnei Maresha Avi Chevron. He was the father of Chevron. I don't know if that. For sure is not referring to the city. I don't know if there was a guy named Chevron. It's the first time we've seen a person named Chevron. Does anybody know a person by the name of Chevron? Chever, I've seen.
One of Ravina's sons is Chevron.
Chevron?
Do you know anybody
maybe because that's the name.
Or
no, I did, that you're right, but I mean, because Chevron was a city even back then. So to name a person
right, but it makes sense
by the name of a city.
Kalev's city was Chevron. He was given Chevron.
Usually the person is named
right.
And then he makes a city.
Right, but the city was named
this
already.
This is different.
So this, they had to do it
you're right. Yeah, it could be Ubnei Chevron. Right, then we go into the sons of Chevron, Korach, Bisapuach, Rechem, Shoma. Now, it's interesting because Korach does make its ways around. Obviously, Korach, we know the famous Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kos ben Levi, where we definitely know about that. The other Korach, right, we know is the son of Esau. Right, we already mentioned before.
It's interesting that you wouldn't give a name. I mean, you're not supposed to give a name of a rasha.
No, we never do.
Right, but why did he name his son Korach?
Ksuvis in Ayin Gimel or Ayin Dalid, the Pnei Yoshua asked that question, and he goes through Yishmael, Rabbi Yishmael is where he really asked it about.
Rabbi Yishmael
the
Teshuva.
And he goes into, and he says, you're right, you're 100% right, that is one of the answers that he gives for Yishmael, but he says, if you don't mean to name it after that person, but rather for the idea behind the name, then you're allowed to, which is why there is a person by the name of Rabbi Shua ben Korcha. And there's also a guy by Rabbi Hanan ben Avishalom. So if you name it for what this name represents,
but
as opposed to the person.
Avishalom is technically different than Avishalom.
You're right, and so is Korcha, if you'll notice.
Right,
a little bit different.
This is Korach, and Korach also Yishmael, also, I heard another answer, that Yishmael has the name, is that the word itself is Yishmael, that
that's
got
this answer.
Here.
That's the answer,
right,
because
but
it stands
Korach,
for what the name means.
Right, but Korach, this is like the actual, Korach doesn't have a.
So the Gemara is two, there is one, the baldness and whatever it is, obviously, is one thing. Ripping your hair out for, you know, well, an understanding, like going like that in order to go through, is the good way of understanding Korach. That's the good way of learning it. I think it's from a Shachal Torah. Yeah, Zelman. Hugger?
No.
Maybe. That is coming in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, but either way, but that's Rechem Shama. The Shema Holidus Racham Avi Yerakam, the Rechem Holidus Shamoi. This is interesting. Look at the name, by the way, Shamoi, not as in Shammai, which is the name that we obviously have with Shema, Hillel and Shammai. Ben Shammai Ma'on Ma'on Avi Beis Tzur, Eifa Pilegesh Kalev. Then there was Eifa, the Pilegesh of Kalev. Yolda is Charon, that's Motiv as Gazez. Interesting name, the Charon Holidus Gazez. And Charon also gave birth to Gazez. So apparently there were two Gazezes going around. I'm sure family reunions were interesting when we went down there, but two Gazezes. Okay, we're going to end with this
maybe,
part right here.
Gazez didn't have children, so
he named
him
afterward. Very well could be that Gazez. But we said before that when somebody died without children, they say it. So it's interesting it didn't say that. B'nei Yadai?
Well, in Sefer Bereishit, by Binyamin's children, you know, at one point he has like 11 children, but then 10. Later on they have, the names are like a skip a generation.
Four, so Rashi goes through. Right. Rashi says that they died. But over here we just mentioned the people that died without children. I think it would say that. But again, there's so many inconsistencies. Bnei Yadoi, Regem V'yosem V'geishon, V'felet V'eif V'shoaf, Pilegesh Kalev Macha, we have another Macha, Yolad Shever V'estirchano, so this is another Pilegesh, V'telet Shav Avi Madmana, Es Shiva, Avi Machbena, V'Avi Giva, Obas Kalev Achsa, and the daughter of Kalev was Achsa, and we all know what happened with Achsa, right? She's the one that married Osniel ben Kenaz, right, when he took over the city of Kiryat Sefer, according to the Gemara, learned that sugya. Eloi Bnei Kalev ben Chur, Bechor Efrasa. Right, so the Bechor of Ephrasa was Shovel, Avi Kiryas Yarim. He started the city of Kiryat Yarim. Salma Avi Beis Lachem, he started Beis Lachem. Charef Avi Beis Gader. Bayu Banim L'Shovel Avi Kiryas Yarim. Haroe Chatzia Menuchos. So he had Haroe and Chatzia Menuchos. Those are names. Those are not like half of rest or something like that. Mishbachos Kiryas Yarim. Hayisri Bapusi Bashumasi Bamishroi Me'ilo Yatu Atzorasi Vashtooli. Those people, the Ashtolim and the Tzorosim, they came from him. Bnei Salma, Beis Lachem, and Tofasi. Atros, Beis Yoav. Right, there was Atros, Beis Yoav. That was a name.
Chatzia Hamanachti.
Hold on. Sorry. Mishbachos Sofrim, Yoshe Yavis. And then there were the families of scribes that lived at the area of Yavetz. Now, Tirosim, Shimosim, Suchosim, Hema Kinim. These were people that were Kinim, Abayim Achmas, Avi, Beis Rechav, who came from the house of Rechav, which we know of as Yisrael. Now, Chazal Darshan, that Yavetz is another name for Osniel ben Kenaz, and that these people were all sitting there, this is from Tmura, Daf Tez Zayin Amid Aleph, that these people from the Canaan came, learned by Osniel ben Kenaz, became Talmidei Chachamim along with them, and these were the people that we say that Yisro had children that were on the Sanhedrin. They were all of his kids right over here. They merited to be able to sit at the gates of Yerushalayim. Each one of their names, if you look at it, Tirasim, Tira is a gate in Aramaic. They sat at the gates to judge. Shimasim is that they listened to the advice. Suchasim is they lived in Sukkos, the way their fathers did, and we're going to see they donated wood and everything like that, which is really, really interesting from what they were. Those were all Bnei Rechav. We're still not done fully with Kalev. We're still not done with him. It's absolutely unbelievable. But nonetheless, we're going through. It seems clear many cities are coming from. Kalev is this unbelievably important person, even if there were two Kalevs, which is very likely over here. There are two Kalevs over here. There's some unreal things happening over here with Kalev and trying to go through. We'll stop with that. That's the end of Parak Beis.
Okay, there's a...